Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been giving in your life and been challenged this morning to give more. As he had to the Corinthian church, he had to inspire them and to help them to see, because they're prosperous. We are prosperous today, and we too need to be inspired to give. Let's be willing to do that. The message of the morning. I greet you in Jesus' name and the one that has saved the church. He's building the church. We're a part of it here this morning. This message that I've chosen to preach this morning is one that was given to me. Yes, when a minister studies, I believe that there's an aspect where he digs into the Word and he wants to know what the Lord has for him. And he opens up and it's given to him. But we also have opened up already and we said we want suggestions from you as a congregation. We want to hear, and I'm thankful someone has handed this one in. I'm going to try to do my best to instill and bring forth what they wanted to see with this message. As I have studied for this message, I took a look at my own life. And it challenged me. The message title is this: Communications in Marriage and Personal Relationships. Communications in Marriage and Personal Relationships. Communication is a gift from God. Let's start there. Communication is a gift from God. Did you realize and ever think about it that in the Garden of Eden, when he made man, he made him with a voice box. He made that we can talk. Okay? It's a gift from God. There's some people that are born into this world where that gift is taken from them. But usually the gift is somewhere else. They have something else to make up for it. We're thankful that God works that way. And so in that, when something else is stronger for them, usually there's a way of communicating. You see, you don't have to speak to communicate. You can make hand motions. There's body language. There's things that your body says. That's communication. But there's one thing that communication does. Communication either builds up or destroys those about us. It's either building them up or destroying them. As we think of relationships, communication in relationships. Marriage is a relationship. And personal relationships, we're in relationships with our brothers and sisters in the church here this morning. Communication is a must if we're going to have good relationships. It's a must. Good communication is a must if you're going to have good relationships. Well, communication, in our world today, communication has taken, can destroy when, where did that start at? We can go back to the Genesis account. We go back to Adam and Eve. God placed them there in that Garden of Eden. And it was when sin entered the picture. The communication with God got severed. Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves. They didn't want to have that walk with God. They didn't want to communicate with God. It was sin. God had close communion with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But that close communion got lost as a result of sin. Man went and hid from God. They didn't want to talk to him. And what happened? The blame game got started. Adam says, it's not me, it's that Eve. It's that woman you gave to me. Eve says, no, it's that serpent. Beguiled me. Good communications? No. Communications spiraling downward. Another Bible example of communications that have had been turned away, and when God stepped in the Tower of Babel. You know, these people were deciding they wanted to build a tower to heaven. Keep them all together, and God told them they're supposed to go scatter over the earth. Spread out over all the earth. And the communication as they were building that thing, they could talk to each other, and God said, that's not what you're not doing what I told you to do. What did he touch? He touched the communication part. They couldn't understand each other anymore. The frustration that must have came with that. But it caused the effect God wanted for them. And they moved out and they spread over the face of the earth. In my personal devotions, I've been reading about Moses. And as I was studying for this message, I had to think about him. As God told him to go and talk to Pharaoh in Egypt and ask that his people come out. What did Moses do in, I think it's Exodus chapter 2, somewhere around there. Moses starts saying, I'm not a man of good words to speak. I can't talk very well. I get my words all mixed up. And communication is a gift. God gives it. God says to Moses there, have not I created your tongue? Won't I give you words to speak that you stand in need of? God is still giving us words to stand in, that we stand in need of today. And we can read in His Word, and we're going to go there for the message this morning. And we're going to try to bring that out through that. And we're going to pretty much stay at one book of the Bible. I chose to, this morning, pull my message from Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn your Bibles to that. We communicate today, verbally or non-verbally. And I said some of that before, but body language, words, actions. 1 John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word. The communication, the talking. Let's not just love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's go beyond to the actions and what we're doing. Choices we make in life, what we buy, what we do, how we drive, what we drive, the way we conduct ourselves, what we say, maybe what we don't say. Communicate to those about us what is important to us, to our children. Before we go into Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at a definition of communication. Now, I don't think this is a dictionary. It's one of my studies as I was reading much material trying to prepare for this. Definition of communication, I like this one so well I didn't even look it up because I think it fits what we want. Communication is accomplished when the words, ideas given by one person is understood by the hearer in the way that the giver intended. That's communication. But we struggle with that sometimes. How do you get good communication? Because what I say sometimes, maybe something I'm going to say this morning, you're going to take it and you're going to, what did he mean by it? I trust not. I'm going to strive to communicate to you this morning in a way that you can understand, the receiver can understand. And I trust the Holy Spirit will be faithful in bringing that through to you. Much frustration happens by the failure to accomplish both sides of the equation. Both sides have the responsibility to work on it. No one is exempt from putting forth effort into it. And that was a quote from one of my studies. But it made an impression on me because that's so true. I can be up here talking this morning and you don't care about understanding what I'm trying to say, and you have a work to do as listeners this morning. In husband and wife relationships, you have a job to do. If your spouse is talking to you, you have a job to do. You need to listen. Try to understand what he or she is saying by what they're saying. I mean, you're trying to get what their gist of what they're saying, and to get it all put together. Not take it off in some bunny trail, but to understand. Good communication. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. I think we are going to read verse 25 to the end of the passage. Before we go to verse 25, we're going to read verse 15. We're not going to pull much out of that right now. But verse 15 first. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Now verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I have 4 points for the message this morning. The first point I have, and these are all going to be something. Communication in marriage and personal relationship, you're going to be something. You need to be something. So the first one I have, be truthful and honest. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The need to be truthful, to be honest. Not just in the words you say. Be truthful to yourself first. And be truthful to God. I can assure you, if you're not truthful with yourself, if you're trying to feed yourself a lie that it doesn't matter what I do, if it doesn't matter, nobody's going to know. You're not truthful and honest with yourself and with God, and you're standing with God. You're going to struggle very hard to be truthful and honest to those you meet. The communication out here. We must be truthful and honest. Be truthful and honest. You know, when there's untruth shared, what happens? What do you think about someone that, when you know that they shared an untruth? Your confidence in them, if you're like me, your confidence in them really spirals downward. It goes down. Let's go back to that verse 15 and think about it. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. You know, when you speak truly, speaking truly, that means you're going to have true dealings. You're going to have true living. It's going to be a life of love. You're going to be open and honest. Your heart is prepared to share at that point. In a marriage, you're going to open up. You're going to be sharing your honest feelings with your spouse. In friendships, if it's the same way, you're going to be, you know, you feel free, you're open, you're true, you're honest with them, and you're willing to share. That brings me to my second point. Second point that I have. Be open. Be open. Verse 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Anger is an emotion. You have it, I have it. It's something you're not going to run away from. Anger is an emotion. It's going to affect you at some time in your life. When you let it control your life, that's when it gets to be wrong. Because when you let it control your life, it's going to probably control your tongue as well. And it's probably going to control your communication. What are we doing with the emotion of anger? Are we letting it control us? We know that Bible verse, be angry and sin not. That's what we have in verse 26. We say it many times. Probably nobody here would like to say that we ever go to the point where our anger turns to sin. But I'd like to challenge us. When the words start going with our anger, when we get frustrated, we get angry, and we just... What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go ask forgiveness? You see, things in life, things not dealt with, build resentment, build bitterness, it's something that's going to be there, and the next time you get faced with it, it's going to hit you harder. Maybe you don't find yourself the way I do. Brethren, be open. It's not always easy to address something that's bothering you. In a marriage, it's not easy sometimes to open up that what really starts grinding you. You know, we, all of us that are married, have gone through that honeymoon phase where love's just going to go on. There's never going to be an argument. There's never going to be a dispute between husband and wife. If you can go through your life for 50 years without that, praise the Lord. But I don't believe in communication between two people that you can ever always totally agree. But you see, if you aren't open and you don't have that communication, and you start saying, well, I just shouldn't be bothered by this. It shouldn't ever affect me this way, and I'm just not going to share it with my spouse, and I'm just going to bottle it up. What's going to happen? You can be assured that there's going to start to be, Satan's going to start to plant that seed of bitterness in your marriage. He's going to start planting that seed of resentment in your marriage. And it's going to start to drive you apart. Well, people share. People communication happens different for everybody. The older I get, the more I realize that, and I find it, can I say, interesting? Because we all respond differently. We all communicate differently. And as husband and wife, you need to realize that, and you need to come to grips with that and to realize it and be open about it. Where we're at. I'm going to use an example that I've heard before. I'm going to share it here. I believe Brother Marion Miller had used this example one time. I think that's where I got it from. You know, you come in the house after a day of work and your wife asks you, how was your day? All right. Subject closed. Us men are done. We got the answer to it. It was an all right day. Was that communication? Now you take the next person. You come in and ask them, how was your day? And they'll launch in a long epistle of how their day was. Down to the last little detail. Which is communication? You see, there's a needs to be a step across. There needs to be a step across this all right. Because it's not communication. There's probably times when your schedule's busy and it's okay to just have an all right answer and go on. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this: if your communication in your personal relationship with your friends, or whether it's in marriage, if it always stops at the surface, all right, and we're done, it's not communication. You see, there's something happens. There's something happens when we're open. In the husband and wife relationship, how do you get through that? And I'm not saying this as I feel like I have the answers. I don't. I'm going some of this off of what I've been told, okay? So you're going to have to dig. Oh, your day's all right. What'd you do today? Go beyond. Dig it out. That communication is worth a lot in life. Your friends might need that sometimes in life. They might have something that is burdening them. There's something that is a struggle to them, and they can't open up and share it. There's something bothering you. Do you mind sharing it? Sometimes we have to make that initial step for them to be open with us. Our verse is here, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. How far are you willing to go to remove any chance of misunderstanding that the devil may use to drive a wedge in? How far are you willing to go? How far are we willing to go? Are we willing to take that extra time it takes to ask them and to help them to be open? Are we willing to go the extra mile to try to create an openness in our communication? It takes work, brothers and sisters, it does. And it takes time. But it's worth it. Because if you don't communicate, if you don't open it up and share it, it's a seedbed for the Satan. Seedbed for the Satan, for Satan to plant a seed in there and start driving you apart. For a communication that is going to build, there must be openness. How often do we shut down our children's wild stories? How often do we shut them down? You know, it's the stories seem so wild, and they're so exaggerated, can we say, and they're just... We have things to do. We have things that we need to talk about ourselves, and we can't listen to you. We don't say it that way. But sometimes I think that comes across. And so we start trying to shut them down, and because we have something else in our mind. We can't concentrate on what they're saying, and we can't get it. We don't understand what the significance of it is. Which I say this as a challenge to myself as I've studied for this. You know, it's so easy to just brush it off. Let's go on. What we are doing to our children, parents, is we're starting to shut them down. We're telling them it's all right to have an all right answer. Or a good answer. Whereas in what we should be doing, we should be taking our communication that we can take part in. And we should be applying ourselves to listen. What is going on in their lives? What are they struggling with? You can soon get a glimpse of what is happening in their lives by listening and paying attention and understand where they are. Parents, we can help them so much that they don't have the baggage later on in life where they don't understand how to communicate. We must cultivate a relationship that produces trust. That is, whether from our children to us parents, or from between parents as in the marriage relationship, or with our friends. In being open, there's that you expose yourself and you're open to the trust of other people. Do you share deep and dark secrets? Maybe we should ask the youth. Do you share deep, dark secrets with someone that you know will go tell your secret? Not when I was in the youth. Not when I was young. We didn't do that. As soon as you told somebody a little secret and you knew it went out, there was a wall there. And being open, we expose ourselves to the trust of the other person. In the marriage relationship, when you open up, you expose yourself to your partner. You're putting trust in them. I want to share this. When we are open and stuff gets shared, you must guard what is shared. Trust gets quickly broken when we start whispering it around. You know that gossip train, it can affect all of us. Did you hear? It's easy to do, but trust gets broken. And trust is something you can't just go out into the store and buy another quart of. It's built in your relationship. When we have those we struggle to trust in, communication will be hard. We get concerned. What if I say the wrong thing and it gets out? I want to watch. You got to watch what you say to these people. Is that communication? True communication is being open. Well, oftentimes you'll find in a situation where trust is broken that what happens is you start clamming up. I'm not going to share because it just comes back to bite me. It's not going to be taken right. We've probably heard statements like that. And the fingers point at us, and it says, shame on us. Remember, trust can't be forced. It is built. It is earned. It is gained. The third one. Let's move on. Be an edifier. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Be an edifier. I would like to read that verse 29 in the Amplified. You follow along in your Bibles, but think about this. Amplified. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Be an edifier. We all need those who encourage us as we go through life. We need compliments. You might be the toughest man here and you might say, I don't need compliments. I'm going to live my life and I don't need to hear a word of affirmation from anybody. You'll still enjoy it when people do it. I believe we all need compliments. We all need to be told we're needed, we're wanted, we're loved, we're appreciated. We all need it. We enjoy it. You find your spot in life and you feel secure in that. In the church, children of God, fellow brothers and sisters, we can do that for one another. I need you. I believe it's one of those things in our communication that we forget. We forget to verbalize it. Did it change from the last time I told you? You should know that. Maybe our body language at least tells it. That's a good way to start. But I think it's good to verbalize in our communication. Husbands and wives, you can do that for one another. You can edify one another. You're in a good position. If you have proper communication, you are in a good position to try to help your spouse through a trial. Because I trust you have a relationship that is there already. A relationship that has been built through good communication that has happened before. That, you know, that communication when you've asked beyond the life is good. How was your day? It was good. You've asked beyond that and you've built up your relationship and your communication that you can go in to a sensitive subject. You can go in when there's a little bit of a need for some correction, for some direction. And you can help steer that. Maybe it's in the husband and wife relationship and it's children. We raise children if the Lord gives them to us. And we sometimes can see our spouse relating to something that has happened with the children wrong. Is the communication open enough that we can go in and build them up
Edify them. Help them through it. Talk about those hard things. There's some things in relationships that are hard to share, and we must, in our communication as between husband and wife, sometimes even as friends, we get into this thing where we need to share something, and it's hard to do. But they need said. They need said. If they're not shared, they will become like a leech that's just going to sap the strength out of the relationship. It's just going to pull it out. They need shared. They need worked on. So I'd like to give a few encouragements for sharing. The first one I have, pray about it first. Pray about it first. Pray for a right attitude. A right attitude as you go, so that when you're communicating, it's not any resentment. There's no bitterness. Nothing in the way. We are open. We're ready to share. Pray for an understanding of a right way to share it. The second one. A few encouragements for sharing. Examine yourself. Look at yourself closely. Am I contributing to something to this problem? Is there something in my life? Before I go communicate to my spouse or to my friend or whoever, look at yourself closely. Is there something that I'm doing that's causing a wall in our relationship, in our communication? Something that is that when we go talk, it's going to destroy everything. Trust is going to be destroyed. Is there something? Examine yourself. If there is something there, ask for forgiveness. Start there. Start there. Tear down the wall that is there from your end. The second encouragement for sharing, or the third one. View the other that you're going to go share with, and view what you feel needs shared. What the significance of it is. Try to view it through their eyes. Try to take a look at life through their eyes and the relationship, the struggles that are there. Try to take a look at it through their eyes. Try to see them as God sees them. I'm going to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Just a quick verse here. Second Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. I'm sorry you're getting a lot of Amplified this morning, but I like the Amplified when I'm studying. Consequently, from now on we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view, or in terms of natural standards of value. Okay, that's where I want to pull out from there. From now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. We view it in God's light. We look at our one that we have communication. We have to go have communication with. And as we look towards being an edifier and we look to build them up, we need to look beyond what the human looks at and realize there's another point of view, and that's God's point of view. What work is God doing in their life? Is there something that God is working in them that we don't see or that we haven't glimpsed up to this point? When we view people as God sees them, we don't have to attack them. We don't have to attack them. We just address the problem. Now, Now, maybe sometimes that's easier said than done. Too often times, when I've been in these situations myself, it feels too soon that the person that is coming with a trying to edify us and to bring a communication concern to us, we immediately start feeling that they have it in for us. They're attacking me and who I am. And too often we turn defensive. You know, it's okay, I might have this problem, but look at what you have in your life and go deal with what you have. We start turning defensive and saying, well, I did this because. God help us that we don't turn to that. Let's evaluate our edifying and let's try to come in a right way. But when we get edified, when we get challenged, when we get concerns brought to us, let's respond rightly. Can we see the concern that is shared and realize God wants to do a work in our lives? Maybe this is just one way. One way to bring about that change in our lives. We have some more work to do. We can make a change if we put ourselves into it and with God's help. Speaking truth to edification is to call upon the person to step up to who they are in Christ and to encourage them in doing so, to keep encouraging them. You did better that time. I appreciate you. I understand the struggle. Be with them. One more encouragement for sharing. Speak face to face. Our technology now. When a minister's job is, it'd be easier just to send a text message and it'd be done. Because I can type it out. I can hit send. I don't have to sit face to face. I don't have to look at you in the eye when I share a concern. I believe that can fit in husband and wife relationships, friend relationships. There is nothing like communication when you sit face to face. The fourth one. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I pulled this last point from verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amplified. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, you know, that passion, that rage, that bad temper, and resentment, that anger, that animosity, and quarreling, that clamor and the contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice. What is malice? It's spite, ill will, abasement of any kind, tearing anybody down. Be put away from you. And become useful and helpful and kind one to another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another. Just readily and freely. Why? Because we realize what Christ forgave us from. Fourth one. Be deliberate in your actions. Be deliberate in your actions. Don't react. You know, it's a choice you make. Whether you're going to communicate, whether you're going to be open, whether you're going to share before their feelings get to the boiling point. You see what it says there in verse 31? That's boiling point material. That has gotten to the point where it has deteriorated to the point it's explosive. Be deliberate in your actions. In your communication, be deliberate. Strive to create a relationship. If it takes time for communication, take the time. Well, all of this comes back to the heart. And I have two verses from two Proverbs that I'd like to think about here this morning yet. Proverbs 15, turn with me in your Bibles to there. Proverbs 15, verse 28. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You see why that verse has caught my attention. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. He is not letting it happen to a reactionary point. He's not going to let it happen to that. He's going to deliberately think about it. He's going to deliberately try to come to a point where he can understand and to work on it. He's going to choose to dwell on the good of others. The one he's relating to. He's going to work towards finding the truth on any facts that come his way, and he's going to learn to or strive to trust others until the facts prove otherwise. He's going to be deliberate in it. He studieth to answer. He wants to know where to go with it. Proverbs 23, verse 7 is the other one. As a man, let's read 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. A man thinking in his heart, as he's pondering what to share in his communication, too often times, I think we have this, we're raised in a Mennonite circle, and we feel like we know what to share. We know what's proper. We know what's right to say. And we say those things. And maybe in our marriage relationship sometimes we can say the right things, we can do the right things, and it all looks good, and it sounds good. This verse has a sobering thought at the end, but his heart is not with thee. I think it's good for us in our marriages today, and we look at our communication, to start pondering, is there some hidden agenda in my communication? He says one thing, but he wants the other. Maybe we can have an agenda that we've never spoken to anyone, but it's there. And it's all for self, usually. And pride and self fits in there. Brothers and sisters, we must be deliberate in our communication, in our actions. We must put forth the effort to do what it takes for our marriages to function as they ought to. Closing verse, Matthew 12, verse 34. I want the last part. O generation of vipers, he's speaking to the Pharisees. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Here's the part I want. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your communication today is from what's happening in the heart. And from the heart flows out. We desire. We all have desires. We all desire good communication. We all want good communication. If our heart's desires are right, there's going to be love. They're going to edify one another, and it's going to glorify God. If there's lack of communication, there's going to be a desire in your heart to be right and to be heard, to just solve issues and move on. Let's not go back and dig them up. Let's just solve them and go on. Let's just move on. We're going to try to avoid conflict, and we're going to try to always be in agreement. Have you ever found yourself there? I have. And I had to look at my life and say, communication must not be right. Because I don't want to go face it. I just want to go on and not go back and make it right. Well, what happens in this time? If our heart is right and our actions are right and everything's going right, if our heart's in the right place, we're going to have sacrifice. We're going to listen to people. We're going to praise God and praise each other. We're going to encourage one another. And what's that going to do to our lives? It's going to create peace, communication, unity. Be drawn together. The heart's right. We're in tune with each other. We're communicating. We're trying to look for the best in others. What happens on the other? If the lack of communication is happening and your desires are just to move on and to forget the past and to just be heard and to move on, your actions are going to be that there's going to be criticism and talk. There's going to be a block wall. There's going to be defensiveness, withdrawal, and angry words. That's going to be the actions. What's the consequences of a life like that? It's going to be a life of conflict, a life of loneliness, and a life full of misunderstandings. Brothers and sisters, is good communication worth it? It sure is. It sure is. Are you willing to put forth the effort in your marriage, in your personal relationships, whatever it takes? We're going to even it out, and we're going to go back and we're going to press on to serve the Lord together, letting each other edify one another so that we can be presented before God in heaven in right standing with Him. It's our goal. It's what we want to do. We want to make it to heaven. May God bless you as you strive for that in your marriages. Let's kneel for prayer.